Greetings in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. This is Wednesday evening, October 21st, and it's the first in a series of weekly Bible studies on the subject of prayer. This is my feeble attempt at continuing to feed the flock that God has entrusted me with. And of course, if you're a guest, you have my sincere thanks for joining, and I pray that you are blessed. You are also, now this is for guests, you are also invited to our Sunday morning service, either live or on Facebook. Just put into your URL, www.facebook.com/BMC Tulsa, and you'll find us. The sermon will start at 11:30, and I'll give you this site again at the end of this introductory lesson. So, let's open your Bibles to Matthew chapter 6, and we can get started. The study has a title. I'm calling it God First, and in fact, I've subtitled it Another Teaching on Prayer. Are you there yet? Matthew chapter 6. Familiar, isn't it? And I'm reading from the NIV. Be careful not to practice your righteousness in front of others to be seen by them. If you do, you will have no reward from your Father in heaven. So when you give to the needy, do not announce it with trumpets as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and on the streets to be honored by others. Truly I say to you, they have their reward in full. But when you give to the needy, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, so that your giving may be in secret. Then your Father, who sees what you've done in secret, will reward you. And when you pray, and here we go, and when you pray, do not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the street corners to be seen by others. Truly, I tell you, they have received their reward in full. But when you pray, go into your closet or into your room, close the door, and pray to your Father who is unseen. Then your Father who sees what you have done in secret will reward you. And when you pray, do not keep on babbling like the pagans, for they think they will be heard because of their many words. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask him. This, then, is how you should pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For if you forgive other people when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others their sins, your Father will not forgive your sins. I would normally pray at the conclusion of the reading of the scripture, but obviously, this is the perfect prayer. It is the example that we all need to follow. Again, as I've mentioned in times past, this is not the verbiage necessarily. It's the pattern. And I think that's important. The intent of this Bible study is more to promote early morning prayer. In fact, early morning private prayer. The title God First is meant to imply that it is good that the first person you talk to every morning should be God. And it's probably not a bad idea to let God be the last person you talk to. That might keep some of them nightmares away. How many of you remember when we were kids, the first thing we learned was, now I lay me down to sleep, I pray the Lord my soul to keep, and if I should die before I wake, I pray the Lord my soul to take. Kind of morbid, isn't it? But that's what we learned. Anyway, the spiritual example for early morning prayer, and actually the inspiration for the Morning Watch prayer cast, is Christ himself in Mark chapter 1, verse 35. And it's the only record that we have of what I believe is an often repeated routine practice of the Lord. It reads like this. Now in the morning, having risen a long while before daylight, he went out and departed into a solitary place, and there he prayed. This word solitary is critical because it's the Greek word eremos, and it conveys this whole idea of privacy. Actually, in Luke chapter 5 verse 16 says, but Jesus often withdrew to in, and that word is there, eremos, a private place, and prayed. Another reason I believe the solitary place is important is when Christ taught about praying, one of the key points was, he says, when you pray, go into your room, go into a private place, close the door, in fact, and pray to your Father who is unseen. Then your Father who sees you in secret will reward you openly. The rising early each morning helps me personally focus on meeting God first, which is the best way to start a day. Whether married or single or old or young, employed or unemployed, rising before daylight is both scriptural and practical and beneficial. I'm not so sure if Fanny Crosby had before daylight in the private solitude of her room in mind when she wrote, "Oh, the pure delight of a single hour that before thy throne I spend, when I kneel in prayer and with thee, my God, I commune as friend with friend." How often have you, I asked this past Sunday, I think, how often have you sung that song without wondering, have I ever prayed for a single hour? Think about that. I asked it to the congregation, and only one person raised their hand. So it's just a thought, something that we often say or sing about and not really understand what we're really saying. But don't you worry at all, though. This lesson or none of these lessons have anything to do with length of prayers. We have a record of many of the great men of prayer, warriors of prayer, praying for long hours. But our lesson is more about scheduling prayer, the substance of prayer, and the stability of prayer. The subtitle I've used is Another Lesson on Prayer is for this reason. In a website called goodreads.com, I found a list of 120 books on prayer, and each book has lots of chapters. The one thing about the Goodreads list is the first book that it has listed for prayer is the Bible. Thankfully, this is where I get all my facts about prayer, as well as where I confirm whatever I read in some article or some book about prayer. Over the past 40 years, I've owned and read lots of material on prayer. Most of the books are now at the church library. And looking around the home office, I first see, 10 Bibles. No, I don't try to read them all at once, but they're all stacked up. And at first glance, looking over the books of prayer that I have in the office, I can see 7. Matter of fact, one is written by Brother Dennis Gunderson. He's local and a very dear friend of mine. There are at least 3 more books on prayer on my iPad in the Kindle library. And in the Audible library, there is another book, or maybe 2, which I use for morning meditation. Now, I'm sharing all of this, not boasting, but simply making the point that there is lots of information concerning prayer. Now, some of it's good, some of it's bad, and some of it's questionable. The only safe book is, of course, the only book that God approves, and that's the Bible. The other books are tools that we can use as we search the scripture to see if what's contained in these different books is true. In other words, we read and study using these tools, but the Bible becomes our fact checker. So this evening, I'm going to be sharing with you the foreword of the Andrew Murray's book, The Morning Watch, in its entirety. The foreword itself comes from the E.M. Bounds classic work titled Power Through Prayer, which I've got two or three copies of, and I found these booklets invaluable throughout the years. Now, as a note, again, this lesson will be posted weekly, so you can hopefully enjoy it. Now, here's the foreword to Brother Murray's book, The Morning Watch. Begin the day with prayer. I ought to pray before seeing anyone. Often when I sleep long or meet with others early, it is 11 or 12 o'clock before I begin secret prayer. This is a wretched system. It is unscriptural. Christ arose before day and went into a solitary place. David says, early will I seek thee. Thou shalt early hear my voice. Family prayer loses much of its power and sweetness, and I can do no good to those who come to seek from me. The conscience feels guilty, the soul unfed, the lamp not trimmed. Then when in secret prayer, the soul is often out of tune. I feel it far better to begin with God, to see his face first, to get my soul near to him before it is near another. What Brother McShannon is saying, what I have learned over the past, is that any time I put other things or do other things before I meet with God first, it all seems kind of confusing or crowded in. That's the word I'm looking for. This idea, I'm telling you, I'm just taking my word for it. I've been doing it for a while now, and this actually is the best medicine for the spirit and the soul. Murray follows. The men who have done the most for God in this world have been early on their knees. He who fritters away the early morning, its opportunity and its freshness in other pursuits than seeking God will make poor headway, seeking him the rest of the day. Let me read that one again. He who fritters away the early morning, its opportunity and freshness in other pursuits than seeking God will make poor headway seeking him the rest of the day. If God is not first in our thoughts and our efforts in the morning, he will be in the last place the remainder of the day. Behind this early rising and early praying is the ardent desire which presses us into the pursuit after God. Morning listlessness is the index of a listless heart. The heart which is behindhand in seeking God in the morning has lost its relish for God. David's heart was ardent after God. He hungered and thirsted after God, and so he sought God early, before daylight. The bed and sleep could not chain his soul in its eagerness after God. Christ longed for communion with God, and so rising a great while before day, he would go out into the mountain and pray. The disciples, when fully awake and ashamed of their indulgence, would always know where to find him. We might go through the list of men who have mightily impressed the world for God, and we would find them early after God. A desire for God, which cannot break the chains of sleep, is a weak thing and will do but little good for God after it has indulged itself fully. The desire for God that keeps so far behind the devil and the world at the beginning of the day will never catch up. It is not simply the getting up that puts men in front and makes them captains, generals, and of God's host, but it is the ardent desire which stirs and breaks all self-indulgent chains. But the getting up gives vent, increases and strengthens the desire. If they had lain in bed and indulged themselves, the desire would have been quenched. The desire aroused them and put them on the stretch for God. And this heeding and acting on the call gave their faith its grasp on God and gave to their hearts the sweetness and fullest revelation of God. And this strength of faith and fullness of revelation made them saints by eminence. And the halo of their sainthood has come down to us, and we have entered on the enjoyment of their conquest. But we take our field in enjoyment and not in production. We build their tombs and write their epitaphs, but are careful not to follow their example. We need a generation of preachers who seek God and seek Him early, who give the freshness and due of effort to God and secure in return the freshness and fullness of His power, that He may be as the dew to them, full of gladness and strength through all the heat and labor of the day. Our laziness after God is our crying sin. Let me read that again. Our laziness after God is our crying sin. The children of the world are far wiser than we. They are at it early and late. We do not seek God with diligence. No man gets God who does not follow hard after Him. And no soul follows hard after God who is not after Him early in the morning. Edward Bounds says that. In this foreword to Brother Murray's book, we see the statement, David's heart was ardent after God. Our equivalent to that word, of course, carries with it the idea of wholeheartedness. In Psalms 9, we find what seems to me to be the best way to start any prayer. And if we're going to start our prayer early in the morning, it always puts us in the right frame of mind. I will give thanks to the Lord. Now, stop there for a second. Let's be honest. Because most of us say thanks after someone has done something for us, it kind of carries over to our prayer life. When God has done something good for us, we come up with thank you. But here the Psalms writer is starting off by saying the first thing that comes out of my mouth is thanks to the Lord. Now, since we are talking maybe about praying early in the morning, wouldn't it be appropriate, you think, maybe, if we start that prayer with thank you, Lord, and make sure that it's from our heart and not some kind of form. In these precious words, we see our motive. The Psalms writer continues, I will recount all of your wonderful deeds. You know, Psalm 77, verse 11 says, I will remember the deeds of the Lord. Yes, I will remember your wonders of old. Surely God has showered us with enough blessings, whereas we meditate on Him early in the morning and give Him thanks, we can think of some of the wonderful things that He's done for us. I mean, it's pretty poor of us if we can't call to remembrance all of the blessings. And you know that song is count your blessings, name them one by one. Let me say this. Remembering what God has done for me would take 2 hours easily, and I wouldn't even touch the tip of the iceberg. The psalmist also says, I will be glad and exalt in you. I will sing praises to your name, O Most High. I wonder if we started out our petition in this manner, would we sometimes forget what we're about to beg for? It's happened to me. I have in my mind all primed up how I'm going to ask God to give me a blessed day, how I'm going to ask Him to present some soul in front of me that I might witness for Him. I have a whole list of petitions and requests, but I have actually started off the morning by praising Him. After a while, my praises will ignite the joy in my heart, and I actually say amen, not having asked Him for anything. He provides. So, what do you think? Do you think getting up early in the morning will help? Are you willing to put God first? Here's our Sunday meeting website again. It's www.facebook.com/BMC, Berean Missionary Church, T, and then lowercase ULSA. That's facebook.com/BMC Tulsa. Until the next time, read Genesis 21 and Genesis 22, because we're going to be looking at Abraham in the morning watch. I pray that the Holy Spirit will keep you safe, and sola Dio Gloria, beloved.